home and chill, keeping you company during the coronavirus.
What's going on, people? This is Marcel Somerville, and I host the Michael and Marcel Show on FUBAR Radio every Wednesday from 4 till 6 p.m. I hate the coronavirus, and I know you do too. So what we need to do as a nation is stick together by staying at home, sanitizing our hands, and listening to the radio. FUBAR Radio, to be exact. And I know you're locked in right now because you're listening to Stay at Home and Chill, keeping you company through the coronavirus.
Harriet Rose on FUBAR Radio.
Now I've got some lovely ladies in the studio, four of diamonds.
Hi.
Oh wow, that was almost in harmony. I love it. How are you girls?
Fabulous.
Good, thanks. Good. How are you?
I'm really well. I was just listening to you harmonising next door. It was amazing.
Thank you.
Loving it. So girls, tell me about the fuckboys in your life. Is this a personal thing or are you just generalising right now?
I mean, I think we've all had a fuckboy in our life. Yeah.
It's so, a bit of both.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we've all been through the experience, and everyone
some of us are still going through it.
Yeah.
Who? Which one? You're not going to tell me, are you? That's okay. You don't have to. Afterwards.
But yeah, of course it's general. Like, you can generalize it to people as well. Everyone's been through this or something similar, or might end up going through it if they haven't already. Mm. So, you know, it's nice for them to feel like it's happened to other people as well. It's not just them. Like, hey, we're here. We can just sing about it together, you know?
100%. And also, I think that it's a track, as you say, it applies to everyone, but also the beat is banging in it. I mean,
shout out to Trey John Marie and Grades for that, because it's as soon as we heard it, we thought the same thing.
And the video, you're having a lot of fun.
That was so fun to shoot.
That's so nice, fun.
It was like an 18-hour day, I think.
But so worth it.
That's intense. Did you have protein bars and stuff to keep you going?
Coffee. Fruit. We had pizza. We had lots of pizza.
I did drink a Red Bull that day.
Several.
You crazy mother.
Well, I know.
Hardcore, you know.
Live life on the edge.
I like it. Burner Boy obviously featured on the track. He's worked with some massive names, J-Hus, Mabel, loads of people. Number one, also, he was in the video with you, which is awesome, because sometimes, you know, schedules clash and you can't get together. Was he a lot of fun on the day, and did you enjoy making the track with him?
He's great. He's got this like really fun energy about him, and we have actually some really fun behind the scenes videos of us all just vibing. So we put Cardi B on, and like, so we just came over us all and we were just dancing with him. Like, yeah, he's great, and he's so trendy.
He's very stylish.
Yeah, like, he came in with the trousers with the smiley faces on, and he just
like baby
it.
Pink.
Yeah,
he's rocking it.
Only real men wear
just
pink.
Take some star tips from him. Borrow his clothes.
Wow, we would love to. Burner, if you can hear this, you know, just hook a girl up.
So you girls obviously started on the X Factor. We can't not talk about it.
Yeah.
What kind of? This is because I've had a lot of people who've been on the X Factor on the show. I don't like to like go deep into it, but what is the thing that you feel you took away from that experience? You walked away from it. What did you learn? Because sometimes it's positive, sometimes it's negative, sometimes it's both. But how did you feel walking away from the show? Is there anything specific you sort of were like, that's what I've learned?
It's funny how you say negative and positive things, because I think we learned that this journey is a roller coaster ride.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
Like, there's a lot of ups and downs. Like, you're so tired at some points, but you want it so bad, so you've got to work and you reap the rewards at the end.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
Mm. And you were put together for the show just before, right?
Mm. Yeah.
But you're still mates. I mean, that's...
Yeah. Oh, we love each other.
We live together now.
It was meant to be.
That's the thing, though, because that's difficult to achieve.
Yeah.
Four complete strangers to all get on and, like, all still, we still like sisters, so.
Yeah, it's lovely. Like, we all live in the same house. We all, like, and we actually hang out together, like, when we're not doing, like, work. I hate that word because it's not work. We love it. But, like, when we're not doing work stuff, like, we all hang out together still and we enjoy it. Like, it's just, it makes it so much more fun when you're friends and you've got, it's not lonely. Yeah.
100%.
Your best friends are doing it with you.
I also love, I think, girls, what you've got to know about life is if you can put work in inverted commas, you know that you're smashing it at life. Yeah. I'm doing my work.
do you know what? We're actually living our best life.
Yeah.
For real.
Listen, babe, I'm there for it. I'm coming to join the band. Yay, can it be five of them?
Let's come over for dinner.
Let's do it.
Oh my God, I want to come over for dinner.
So please, come over for dinner.
Yeah. Don't let Lauren cook.
Yeah, don't. You won't leave.
Do you know what you've just brought up, Lauren? Because I've got something to bring up with Lauren.
Oh, God. Oh,
right. Because, listen, we'll talk about the cooking
in
a minute.
I'm intrigued now. Come on.
Yeah, I know.
Come at me.
Why on earth did you have a cardboard cutout of Gareth Gates?
Okay, so this is a funny story. So obviously, I have an older sister, and I'm the oldest in the band, so I am, like, a few years ahead.
Mum.
Yeah, I am the mum. And there was a big cardboard, like, life-size cutout of Gareth Gates in Woolworths, and my mum went to Woolworths to get us probably the Gareth Gates TV.
Oh, my God,
TV.
I'm joking.
Oh, please, Yasmin, that shows my age. Jesus. And she was like, oh, they were taking all the cardboard cutout down. She was like, oh, what do you do with that? And they said it goes in the bin, and she was like, I'll take it. So she brought it back to our house, didn't she, my mum?
Typical Nikki.
Bring back a life-size cardboard cutout of Gareth Gates, and it did stay in my room. Well, I shared a room with my sister. It stayed in the room for a little while. I can't lie.
He's, do you know what? He was a prime-time hottie.
I mean, come on.
Twist spikes
Who
and everything.
Who didn't hedgehog hair?
Listen.
Hedgehog hair, you know?
He was my one. That he was my one,
please,
like, on
I
that
loved
show.
Him.
I'm sure she kissed it every night before she went to bed. Like,
that's definitely happened. 12-year-old me probably did.
Did you?
Not ashamed to admit it.
Did you practice? Did you practice kissing on Gareth Gates?
Oh, she did.
That was her first kiss.
Her
first kiss. I can't even cope. This is too much.
It's too much for us as well, babe.
Did you hear what your husband just said? Did you cut a little hole out?
Okay, in deep. Okay, girls, just to take the heat off Lauren here.
Red.
I want to do quick fire. If you could have any cardboard cut out of any person in the world now, who would it be?
J-Lo.
Oh my God, you're my girl. Lauren, you can have a refit.
Oh yeah, fix up. Who don't? Does it have to be someone I fancy or?
No, it can be anyone you want, babe.
Oh God, go first.
Go with quick fire.
Quick fire. Alicia Keys.
Oh, Shawn Mendes.
Oh my God, Beyonce. Who am I? Like, obviously Beyonce.
Girls, that was actually quite good. It was very quick, other than you, Sorry. Lauren, but you were blown apart by the Gareth Gates thing.
She still had Gareth on her mind.
Still thinking about kissing,
I'm still thinking about you kissing Gareth Gates cardboard cut out.
Stop it.
Anyway,
no tongues.
Big up Woolworths, big up Gareth.
Miss you both.
Seriously, bring back Gareth. As a girl band, right, it's very easy to slip into the, and there's nothing wrong with this because I love a good dance routine, I love a good matching outfit, but I feel like your individuality and your style, each as singles and as a group, kind of came across in the video.
Love that.
Is that something that you is a deliberate decision that you're not being the stereotype girl band, you're kind of going a different route?
100%. I think we just don't really want to conform to, like, the stereotype, like you say, that girl bands have to all be matching and all of that. We just, like, we are individuals, and why not show that? Like, every girl should have their own style, what they're comfortable in, how they want to express themselves, and that's what we're all for. That's what we're here for.
Yes, girls.
But
yes,
also
girls.
Girl power as a group as well. Like,
You can have both.
100%. I just love that you get on well as well. I think it translates into the music because you're having a better time with each other, you know?
Yes.
Jonas Blue is working on your debut album.
Yes, he is.
Who's he, anyway? And you've got some of the biggest...
He's like, one talented guy.
Like, but he's multi-platinum, like crazy, you know, done some of the biggest songs, Fast Car featuring Dakota, who was on the show the other day, By Your Side with Ray, Perfect Strangers with JP Cooper. I mean, he's insanely talented.
Mm-hmm. We're very lucky.
What a wonderful starter.
Yeah. And it's great because Jonas's vibe, it works so well with what we're trying to do. Like, he's bringing something different to our project, and the experience and the amount of respect he had, like everything in the industry, like that helps us so much because we're so new to it all. And we just think he's great. Like, his sound is
he's
individual.
A cool guy.
He's
a
really nice
guy.
Person, isn't he?
Really lovely. So he gives us good advice. Well, we bumped into him in the club not long ago.
Okay, so why do people refer to it as the club?
the club.
No, I've noticed this because Ray, who's been on before, always says to me, let's go to the club. And I'm like, which club?
Okay, yeah, that's
a fair point.
The club.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, well,
I feel like if you say let's go club, though, you sound like from a...
You'd say, like, let's go to, and then you'd put the name of the club.
Oh, okay.
But I don't know what club you like. Like, yeah. Let's go to a club.
I'm into it, girls. I'm just discovering, yeah. You know? I'm just learning new things.
Oh, I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah, I don't know.
I feel like you guys would be good in the club.
We are good in the club. Honey.
You'd be 50 Cent in the club.
Oh, yeah, we are 50 Cent in the club.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay, cool.
Especially Yasmin.
Ian Boldsworth.
Hope Ikpoku Jr. And we're talking about the new series of Top Boy on Netflix, which is out in the autumn. Natalie, this is Natalie, the producer. She was telling me earlier on, I don't really watch any telly, but she told me she'd watched Top Boy and she loved it.
And is it right that it's coming straight to Netflix?
It's going straight to Netflix, yes. The original ones were on Channel 4.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
And, now they're coming onto Netflix this season.
They're both series are on
Have
there.
You been
very
in
good.
All the series so far
no,
as well?
No, I wasn't in the old ones. The old ones were like, I don't know, like 2011,
yeah,
so
you
I was
have been
quite young.
Very young.
Okay, okay. And what is it? You can between you, you can tell me.
The last season follows the character of the Shane, who's played by Ashley Waters.
Okay.
And it's his lead.
I've worked with him.
You
worked
you?
With him? Yeah. I think I worked with him for one day.
And what was that on?
You can't wait to say remind me then, I'll tell you.
Ashley Waters
down. Yeah, so Ashley Waters, it follows his character called The Shane.
Yeah.
And The Shane's basically rise to becoming the Top Boy, that's why it's
got you, okay, okay.
And he just wants to be the, you know, the kingpin of the area.
Right,
that sort of thing. So the two seasons follow his journey becoming that kingpin.
Okay.
And then at the end, without spoiling it, in case you watched the last one, something big happens and it causes him to leave the area. And it sort of
hang on. Right. I mean, I appreciate you when I won't spoil it, but when you said leave the area.
He's in the third series of it.
Is Ashley still in it now?
Yes. And so's Kano, right?
Kano's in it, yeah.
Who's this?
This is the other, his main character in Top Boy.
Okay. Yeah.
And they kind of fell out. Over the series two, and kind of broke apart.
I feel like
bit.
You're both ruining it for me. I appreciate it's my fault for not watching it.
but they're both back in it. Kano and Ashley Waters.
Yeah, they're both back in it.
But I'm going to sit through series one and two.
Do you know what?
Going,
I know.
They're going to fall out. That sort of thing.
And yeah,
but you don't know what it's about, and maybe.
I do. It's about Ashley Waters being top boy.
Yeah, but there's other stuff.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of other things happen. Yeah.
What else happens? That's the only bit I'm interested in.
Well, another one. There's just loads of stuff that happened. As well as Ashley Waters' character, you're also following, like, there's younger characters in it as well.
Yeah, yeah.
So you got this character called Jem. He's, like, got this nice dog, so you see the relationship with his dog.
Okay.
Another character plays football. You're, like, sort of following his sort of journey. He wants to play football. He wants to sort of, like, make out the area, sort of thing. So there's loads of other aspects to it. The Shane's obviously the main, Ashley Waters' character is the main one.
I'm always interested, I've asked people like this before, but I do genuinely find it interesting about what it feels like to go into a pre-established production, you know what I mean? So if you're going in at the moment, and it's like, how that feels, it's been successful,
yeah.
And it's sort of, when you're dropped into that,
well, there's a big gap, I have to say, between series two to three, right? Yeah. And it was quite a few years.
I like that, though. And I presume that's referenced within the actual storyline.
Yeah,
that
right.
So many years have passed.
Yeah. And it was Drake. You know Drake, the Canadian rapper? I don't know if you do know who Drake is, but most people do.
So I like him.
It was him, really. He was always a fan of Top Boy,
wasn't
he?
Yeah, he was a fan. He said he liked it.
And kept posting on Instagram and stuff about it. And then, I know it's not just down to him, but he's involved with the series. So, although he's not, is he in
he's an exec producer.
He's an exec producer, but he's not in it, right? Which he would have been a bit out of place when a Canadian guy just turning up with
Funny, yeah.
So is that he was instrumental in bringing it back? Is that
yeah? He kept championing it on his social media and saying how much he enjoyed it.
Good,
yeah.
I like that. That's really cool. That's where social media can be used as a force for good, isn't it?
Exactly.
If you're a fan or something in that way. So how is that? How is it dropping into something like that?
I feel like I would have felt that difference a bit more if it was like close together. Say like, I don't know, season one and two were last year and the year before, and I just jumped in now. You would have felt that difference a lot more. But I feel like because there was so many years on and that. Not as many characters are still in it, so it's like Ashley's character, Kano's character, but then a lot of characters are not in it anymore, so it's not as different. You still feel like oh yeah, these guys like created something that they made the last two seasons. You get used to it.
I guess it'd be more like something that's an established show rather than so somewhat like Doctor Who or whatever, where you're going into a show that's established but that does have floating cast and does have you presume floating crew as well. So I guess that wouldn't be quite as intimidating.
Yeah,
I would hope. How many acting roles have you done of this magnitude?
That was the first thing I've done, Top Boy.
How do you feel now about your career? Do you now feel worried that it will never be the same again? Or do you feel like right or on the road?
I feel like I'm on the right track.
Right, really, right. Yeah.
Well, you're also, Noel Clarke used to do a show here, and so you are also in Bulletproof. Yeah. We've done an episode with Noel Clarke and with Ashley Walters again, right? So that's great. Which is, and that's the second. Is that the second series that they're filming at the moment?
Yeah, that's the third thing I've done with second series.
Okay, for Bulletproof, because it did really well for Sky One. Yeah.
Did I mention that I worked with
Ashley Walters? No, tell us about it. I didn't know that. Did you know that, Hope? I didn't know that. He didn't mention it, did he?
You mentioned that.
Can you tell us about that?
I can tell you when it was. 2006.
Need more than that? Yeah. What was
I
that
I think it was 2006. Do you know what? As I understand it, I'm pretty sure, because he got in trouble earlier in his career.
He did, yeah.
And I think it was his first thing back. I think.
Because obviously you know him from, you're a big fan of So Solid Crew. Yes,
I love him. Yeah. Love it. Got it all on vinyl.
Yeah, I know.
but he, I was, all I could think about was that he'd just been in jail. Right. That's all I could think about.
So that's a long,
It was ages ago. It was a long, long time ago. It was in his silly youth. It was, you know, it's not, he's now established as a very credible actor and a very good actor as well. He's excellent. But it was only a read through that we did. We did a read through of a film and I had two lines in it, but I had to be there all day. It was so boring. But he was like a main part in the film read through. I can't remember what it was. I don't even think it ever got made. Just an industry read through. I sat next to him all day and we had a chat every now and again.
Well, that's nice. I mean, I imagine you probably have a better story about Ashley Walters because you've worked with him on two different projects.
I'm not finished yet. Sorry. Do you know who else was in it?
No, who?
And this would genuinely blew my mind.
Who?
Ron Moody.
Do you know who Ron Moody is, Hope? No.
Do you know who Ron Moody is?
No. He used to be in EastEnders.
No. Oh, no, he might have done.
Fitzy.
Oh, Lord, oh, bless. He's trying to tell you.
I don't know what you're miming, Will. Fitzy, you're saying?
It's close.
Fagan.
Yep.
Fagan.
Oh, Oliver Twist.
I could lip read.
He played Fagan in the musical Oliver in the film, and on stage loads as well. Blown away by that. He was lovely.
Okay.
He's died now. He's away now. That's who else I work with. So, I know you've worked with Ashley, but did you work with Ron Moody?
No,
I did.
Can't say I have.
Wait, did you do a read through with Ashley, a two line read through that didn't get made into a film, though, Hope?
Who's your best one that you've worked with? Who's your best one that you've worked with, though?
Biggest actor?
It could just be your personal
yeah,
best one.
Yeah, don't know biggest.
It was probably when I saw Dave, because he's one of my favourite artists in general, and I didn't know he was going to be in Top Boy, obviously. And I remember coming into the read-through and just seeing Dave there. I was like, what's Dave doing?
Who's this again?
This is the rapper Dave.
Rapper Dave.
He's in Top Boy,
He's in Top Boy as well.
Is that his name, Dave?
Yeah, or Santan Dave.
There's a female artist rapper.
Little Sims
in it too, great.
Little Sims in it.
Is that a famous one?
Yes, they all are. But you're also in a film.
Ron Moody. I work with Ron Moody.
What about your film Faith? You're the lead in, right? So you finished filming that?
Yeah, finished filming.
What can you tell us about that?
Before you do, can I just say that was the most condescending, and I know you didn't mean to do it, but you went, and you're the lead in that, aren't you? Well done.
Did you take that from Ashley? No, it's just you, Ian, because you've had a two-line ring through with Ashley that went nowhere, but Hope doesn't. Because
Ron Moody was in it as well.
Right, Ron Moody. Anyway, sorry, tell us about Faith.
Faith was really fun to film, and I was also in my first lead role. And Faith was... So storyline essentially follows a man who's in his like 20s, and he's sort of on the roads, if you want to say it like that. And basically, he doesn't want to do that anymore because his friend dies at the beginning of the film and leaves behind a daughter, a 9-year-old daughter. And he sort of becomes that father figure to that daughter.
Right.
And he realizes like there's more to life than just, you know, like killing people, that sort of thing. He wants to take care of his daughter now and sort of come off like that sort of lifestyle. And during that, he sort of finds Islam, so becomes a Muslim.
Okay.
And it sort of follows his journey becoming a Muslim as well as taking care of this daughter and becoming a father figure. And it's quite a beautiful story.
Was that, again, like just going to a casting and stuff and getting in there?
Yeah.
It was that sort of thing. So you weren't, it wasn't something you were involved in its development and that sort of stuff. Well, that's a good sign, isn't it, for you?
Yeah.
I can appreciate your confidence now, I think.
Yeah.
Any, like, dead confident?
You are. But you're working on all really good projects. So Top Boy being your first one is incredible. Because obviously, what are you about to... You're about to mention Ron Moody. I'm going to go nuts.
He got a pickpocket or two and all that. He sang all that. Ugh. Get off and dodge you. No, what I'm saying is I don't like confidence in people, generally speaking.
Right.
In show business people, like, overall. But I always like it when I don't find it objectionable. And I noticed that I wasn't finding Hope objectionable.
Well, that's nice,
it's a compliment.
It?
You know what I mean? I was like, he's got a proper, calm, steady confidence there. I envied it. But I imagine you're feeling the same thing about me working with Ron Moody that day.
I assume you're pretty confident working from me.
And that Ashley, that two-line read-through, and two-line Ashley, read-through, like, that course. Was it. That was got confident, but not objectionable.
Don't think I missed the bit where you went, oh, just doing a read-through that didn't get picked up. Well, I'll tell you now, Nat, that I knew when I was doing that read-through, I wasn't even available for the filming dates.
Oh, I see.
I just went down and did it as a favour. I've got no interest whatsoever in being in it.
I think Ashley actually mentioned that to you, Hope, didn't he, about the time when he worked with Ian on a two-line read-through.
But Ashley's not shut up about it. I occasionally mention it, very occasionally, but I reckon Ashley's been giving it.
Oh,
I bet he says it on the one show.
Well, you probably have to hear it on Top Boy and Bulletproof.
Yeah, Top Boy Bulletproof is always going around saying,
shut up about it, can you? Stop it, Ashley.
Does he ever say things like, oh, can we put a line in about Ian? And they also have a big discussion about, no, it won't make any sense.
It doesn't make sense, yeah.
And, if he just goes, no, but it'd be nice for Ian though, won't it?
He'll know.
Does he ever say
that? It's a little code word for Ian there. Well, I'm excited for Top Boy. And how many episodes? It's 6 episodes?
10.
Oh, 10 now, okay. Yeah. That's, I think, where you could watch it with a lot of American shows.
Yeah.
They do like 25 episodes per season.
Too much, innit?
It's a lot, innit, right?
Yeah, too much.
Whereas we know 10, lovely.
10's quite accessible, isn't it?
Good, yeah. Very good.
10's
yeah.
a good length. And, yes. and isn't it telling as well that I think a lot of shows, when they're finishing, when they're in their final season, end up only doing 10? Ones that have done like 20-odd.
20,
yes,
that's
when it's the end, they go, right, yeah. And them series, generally speaking, are paced better because of that. That's my hat in the ring to become a top writer now as well.
On Top Boy 4.
Worked with
Top
Ashley,
Boy series
worked
4.
With Ron Moody. I've worked out that 10 episodes is the perfect amount.
Just through
series.
That.
Yeah.
He's cracked the code.
Is the writer of Top Boy the same writer that was doing it in like previously?
Yeah, yeah.
Do they ever have other writers in?
Not that I know of.
Well, on the next series...
So it might be...
What, you're trying to get yourself cast?
It might
trying
be.
To get in.
So it might be...
Maybe what you could do is just... You could just write Ashley 2 lines every series.
I think
just those 2 lines for Ashley and that's done.
I think because in the like 15 minutes that we've been sat in the studio for this interview, which I thoroughly enjoyed by the way, thank you for coming in. In that time, I've spoken more to Hope than I did with Ashley for the entire day. So I think I'm probably going to be better suited writing all Hope's dialogue.
Oh, okay, well, that'll be nice, I think.
Are you all right?
Yeah,
nice,
I'm
yeah.
fine with
you're
that.
Okay, but
I'm
fine
with that.
Do we know, or are you not allowed to say, I don't know if there's going to be we're calling it season 4.
Not that I know of. I don't know.
Okay.
It's confirmed.
Well, it's going to be huge when it comes out.
Yeah,
and because of
big.
Drake being involved in it, because Kanan has got new stuff out at the moment, Ashley and the whole cast, it's going to be a massive series for Netflix.
She just said, every reason she gave for this being good, she said everything but you.
Is it, you're here, Hope. You're
never
in it.
Of
course it's going to be good.
Never mentioned you. Because Drake's in it.
No, he's not in it. Drake isn't in it.
I bet he's in the background in it one bit. I bet
he's
you're
produced
anything.
It.
If he's a big fan of it, there's no way he's not going to be in a crowd scene.
What, do a little background extra walk?
A little background to see his camera just swerve around and you see Drake in the back.
I mean, like, no,
I think it might take it away
I'll
from me.
I'll put money on that.
Well, you think Drake's somewhere in there?
I bet he's on screen somewhere in it.
Nah.
No.
Nah.
Not at all?
Nah.
Good job I didn't name a price, isn't it?
Right, exactly. I think as he said he was a fan, he didn't want to be, he wants to watch it, he doesn't want to be in it.
I'd want to be the lead.
Exactly, and that's why that's why you're not Top Boy.
That's why I'm not getting any of these jobs.
Maybe.
Because I turned up saying I want to be the lead in Top Boy.
And why's the lead sat there? And you're like, no, me.
Yeah. I know the lead a bit.
Oh, Ashley.
I worked with him once.
Did you?
Him and Ron Moody. Yeah,
did
I've not told you.
I'd like to know.
Do you know what? I think there were other famous people in it as well.
Right,
I can't remember who they were. Thanks ever so much for coming in.
Yes.
And best of luck with it.
Thanks for inviting me over.
No.
It's exciting.
I'm excited to watch it.
How exciting.
Oh, yeah.
We can't tell people that we knew you when you come in.
Yeah.
Hope Ikpoke Jr., thank you very much for coming into the studio today and having a nice chat about Top Boy.
And
Faith.
Ron Moody.
Ron Moody, of course.
And your two lines.
And a two line with Ashley. Yeah.
Do you know what? I can't even remember if it was two. It might have been one.
Back Row and Chill on FUBAR Radio.
Hey guys, I'm here today with a very special guest. It's Michael Landers in the building, everybody. I actually don't have an applause thing, so I'll just do it myself.
That's good. Thank you very much.
That was a bit lame, actually.
It's Johanna.
Johanna. So, busy time for you. You are American, but you're currently in London, England. How are you finding
it? I was going to do a bad English accent. No, I'm not.
Oh, can you do an English accent?
I can do the woman at the airport at the magazine that goes, cashier number 5, please.
Are you acquainted with England? Like, do you know?
Yeah, I've come here quite a bit.
Yeah.
My wife's dad is Scottish. I did a couple of series here. I did a series here. I did a play. Occasionally, you guys invite me over, and I love it. Mm-hmm. This show was made for Sky, but we literally filmed Hooton and the Lady all over the world.
Yeah, I've just been checking out the trailers and stuff. For me, it reminded me a little bit of like the sort of Indiana little homage to the sort of 80s.
It's just a big, fun, Action adventure. It's got humor, and we literally did film all over the world. We were in Russia. We were in Cambodia. We went to Rome, Africa, Namibia.
Which is your favorite country?
We ended in Cambodia, which I didn't anticipate myself going there. So to watch the sunrise at Angkor Wat is kind of awesome. But I'm half Italian, or my grandfather was, so I loved Italy. We started in Rome. We were in Russia in the dead of winter, and I got to bring my kids to Moscow. We're one of the only shows that's ever filmed in the metro system in Moscow, which is cool.
People might remember you because you were back in the day. You were on Superman, weren't you? The New Adventures of Superman.
I was on a superhero show when it wasn't cool to be a fucking superhero show.
But for me, that is the only like Superman series that I register as real. Like that was my childhood. I love that show so much. I wanted to be Terry Hatcher.
You did.
Dangerous when you're a kid and watching that show because you're like, I'll just jump out a window. I can fly.
I'll do it.
I want to be a reporter. That didn't happen either. But you do a very good English accent. That was very good. I want to do a little challenge with you.
Are you going
to
do an American accent?
Do you want me to?
Yeah, let me hear. What did you say? Do you want me to? Do you want to go for a yogurt?
Okay, well, give me something to say and I'll try and do it in an American.
I'll tell you a word that everyone always says, like it's tomato, tomato. You know what the word that we don't do it together?
What?
The same? Yogurt. You say yogurt.
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 Of yogurt. Why do you say yogurt?
I just say yogurt. But you go to Valley Girl. Is that what you can? Can you do a Valley?
Like LA? Like California? Like totally like that? Yeah. I spent a little time in LA last year, so kind of thought that one
That's out. Great. That's very good.
But English, let's go back to English, because I'm a Londoner. I'm from South London.
From South London.
I am from Broccoli.
How
do you know Broccoli?
Shut the front door. I know Broccoli because I did a show here when we filmed in Broccoli. I've laughed.
Isn't there
like an old dance hall there or some old...
Yeah, the Rivoli Ballroom.
Yeah.
Oh my God, we're like old schoolmates. I grew up in Broccoli in South London.
So you were trying to test my London knowledge.
I want to test your London slang. So if I'm going to throw you some slang words, I'm going to see if you can translate what you think that they might mean. So,
minge. Sorry.
Do you know what that is?
You know what? I love that in, what was it, The In-Betweeners? That kid with, like, the clunge mags and... Sorry, I'm being naughty.
No, minge is one of, like, my favourite words.
Give me a word.
Okay, what about peak?
Peak.
Yeah, what do you think peak means?
Like, we've peaked, it's... I don't know.
It's an uncomfortable situation.
Peak.
So this is peak.
This is peak.
Yeah. You can bring these back to America and you can teach everyone.
Maybe not.
Okay.
I'm joking.
Yard.
Yard. Well, a yard in America is like money. What do we call a yard? It's like $1,000 or something, right? Or 100,000? A yard? A couple of yards?
Well, yard here is your home. Your yard.
Your yard.
This is my
your
yard.
Crib. Your yard. You're hitting me with some young good.
Yeah, this is the current.
I threw minge.
Okay, what about if something's dead?
No, if something's dead, it's not happening. It's not going on. Nothing's happening
right
now.
Yeah, it is. Poor quality.
Poor quality. This is dead.
This is like, you know, yeah, sorry, mate. Jacket's dead.
Wow, give me some more. Shit.
What's whip?
Your ride. Your whip. Your car, right?
Yeah, okay. Maybe that's the same one. Okay, cool. What about fam? What is a fam?
Your family? No. Your friends?
It's a close friend.
Your close friends, my fam.
Final one. What does peng mean? P-E-N-G. Peng.
What we call peng is if you have a moment that you go, fuck, I shouldn't have said... There's like a peng in your stomach or like a peng.
No, it's if it's nice looking. So if you see like a really hot girl, be like, oh, she's peng.
She's peng. But explain that. You just made that up. Why?
I did not make that up.
Why is the good-looking girl peng? What makes her peng?
I don't know. What, these kids on the street, they just, like, twist words.
Look at her.
Stuff.
She's peng. Or she's paying for dinner.
Paying.
That's how we would say
she's
peng.
She's so peng, I'm paying.
She's peng. Fuck.
Yeah, no, okay. Well done.
Those
did
are
well.
Very... I didn't do well at all. I did extremely...
I was so impressed that you do minge. That's amazing.
That's a bit naughty.
That's amazing. There's what an actress in Hollywood who got minge tattooed on her foot.
Did she? Maybe didn't know well.
She didn't quite. It was Amanda Seyfried. And she said she was on set with Colin Firth and he kept saying minge. She kept swearing, minge. And so she loved it so much she got it on her foot. And then now she does red carpets and there's minge on her foot.
There's minge on her foot.
Well, we have a lot of swear words over here that maybe don't translate. We say bugger a lot.
Bugger. That's like a Hugh Grant movie.
He says it a lot. Bugger. Yeah.
You say bollocks.
Oh, bollocks.
You say the C word a lot. The C word in England seems very normal and it's less offensive, but in America people get offended by
it. No, it's still pretty offensive here.
Is it?
Yeah, not really used much on TV or anything. But go down a pub, it's everywhere.
If they don't even say it, they go, you fucking cunt.
Just whisper it.
What about mingin? That's an mingin. Irish thing.
Yeah? Oh, that's right? So mingin, yeah.
I'm from New York City, so if you're not in like a posh, you know, thing, I think you come up with your own little... slang or isms.
I invent words sometimes. I said ferocious once, and I meant like horrendously ferocious, and it just came out as ferocious.
But ferocious is a good word.
So I get that. I was like, oh, it's just ferocious, that situation. It's like Shakespeare. He made up words all the time.
Michael Payne and Marcel Somerville on FUBAR Radio.
We got our first guest of the day, Grime MC Yizzy.
Sorry.
We should just clap
again,
now because we've said his name.
Welcome, Yizzy.
I think this mic's on. I hope it's on.
No, your mic's on.
The mic's on, not just the headphones. Would you like a fake After Eight?
Pretty to chat.
Why is it fake?
They're called Midnights.
Some would say After Eight are the fake ones after you tried those.
This
I
is
think.
True.
No, After Eight is Christmas special.
Yeah,
there you go.
It's Christmas
would you like one? They taste just like After Eight.
They do.
They're a bit. They're kind
called
of
Midnights.
Quarter to nines.
I mean.
Try one,
then
you're gonna have one. You've got to have one.
They're good.
Seriously,
I'm still trying to censor myself.
You're used to that, yeah?
Yeah, I have one. Marcel was.
But you're
my natural reaction to something is fucking hell, but obviously,
right?
I try to tone it down. I'm like,
that's
raw.
That's everyone's reaction.
Yeah,
absolutely. And you've been around for a little while now, so you're used to radio interviews.
Yeah, I love them.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's fun. It's always something new, yeah.
But then there's also the kind of new aspect that's greeting grime MCs of this generation of festivals. You spoke to FUBAR at Reading, and was that your first festival that you played, or was that your kind of first festival season?
Yeah, season-wise, yeah. So I'd done Reading, I'd done Leeds, I'd done Transmission Festival, I'd done Strawberries and Cream.
Yep.
But the first festival I ever did was Glastonbury.
Okay.
And that was two years ago.
That's a good introduction.
Yeah.
What year? Who headlined that year?
Was it Ed Sheeran? Ed Sheeran was on.
Might have been Ed.
Right, okay. Yeah.
Adele,
okay.
Maybe. Yeah. So many maybes. We don't know.
So many maybes.
Just not sure.
I think it was Kendrick Lamar.
Really?
Did he headline?
No, he hasn't headlined yet.
He headlined Reading last year. That's what it was.
Maybe it was that year.
Yeah.
Getting mixed up, yeah.
But Glasto's a good introduction. And has it been was that your favourite so far?
No, Reading Festival. Sick, man. I love Reading Festival.
That's a good point. Yeah, I was saying to, I think Reading pound for pound is possibly the best festival going.
Yeah.
But it's one of those with an age limit.
I've got a friend.
No, I don't think so.
I think going to Reading for the first time over the age of, for the first time as well, over the age of 26 is like smoking weed for the first time over the age of 40. It's too late
now. The comparison's crazy.
It's too late now.
Well, I think maybe for the first time, if you've been going to it for years. Then
yeah,
you know
exactly.
What to
That's what I'm saying. Even if you've taken a little break, go back. But if you've not been to Reading and Leeds by the time, it would just be too much for you to take because there
but
are
why?
So.
Why? Because it's more of like a young scene? Or?
Yeah, right. Exactly.
But us, the young ones were the people lying on the floor. The people that were stood up was like the older lot. So
probably feeling really old as well.
Probably.
That's the thing.
What am I doing here?
Yeah, exactly. Just look at it. It's a carpet. It's a human fucking carpet.
I think you see parents, your kids don't even want to be there. They're like, we're going to Reading. You're my excuse to take. We're getting
exactly.
In.
Oh, yeah.
And so but before festivals, how did you get into grime? Because you're young. You were born in 1990 fucking nine.
Yes, at the end of it, 30th December. So I was just 2 days short of being a millennial. So
your parents are brave as well, because everyone knew that Y2K was about to just wipe out everyone.
I
so
always wonder
to be
about
planning
that.
Their kid to be born anywhere random times. Brave parents.
Crazy time.
Y2K, I remember that.
That Y2K mad. Shit.
I remember there was a Simpsons episode. That's like one of my favourite ones. Nah, in terms of music, I started in school, like just messing about in like the music room. So I was always interested in music from young. And it just so happened that like the pace that I started spitting bars at was quite faster than usual.
Yeah.
So I wasn't really like a traditional hip hop. I wanted something that was a bit more punchy, a bit more energy.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, that was grime. And then obviously being from like Lewisham and South London, there was quite a few, like when I was about 14, 15, 16, there was more people coming through from South than there was from like East originally.
Because you're right by this, obviously the square and Novelist.
Novelist lives like at the top of my road.
Okay.
Pretty much. So linking up with a couple people like that who are quite local to me was great because it kind of showed me that like people from my ends were doing good and I could actually make something of it.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of like inspiration, but it came first just from messing around. So me and a couple of my boys, we used to like clash in the music block at lunchtime.
Right.
But it was all love, but we would say some mad stuff.
Yeah,
like,
of course.
If it rhymed, whatever was the most, my man said, like, whatever the most reaction you could get from that, that's what we said. And from there, it was just like, you know what, this is fun. I want to do this.
Okay, and that was what lit the flame.
Yeah. Okay. Definitely,
We should play a game now as well.
Mm.
Yeah.
I'm sure, like you were saying, with all these clashes that you used to do, you're very competitive.
Up, man,
Okay, well, this is, think of this as a clash. Think of this as a six question clash. No, it's not a clash like that.
Bars for bars, yeah. Bars for bars.
I'm only joking. It's a clash because they're super competitive.
Okay,
so just so you know that. But it's an honour of you, this game, really, Izzy. And your song, I'm going to play you two songs that were released mere months from each other. If you think song one was released first, you write down If you think song two was released first, you say write down nah.
Nah.
Okay?
Nah.
If you happen to guess the year, you get an extra point, okay?
So
if you think it's song one, you write if you think it's song two, you write nah.
How we spell it nah?
Same as but with an N on the front.
Which one's newer?
Which one was released? They're both from the same year, but which one was released first?
You know how she does with the, like, which one sold more units?
This one is like, we'll say one was released in January, one in March. It would be January that's released first.
This is going to be hard.
Okay?
It's going to be very hard.
Is it? I don't know. Well, let's, first of all, let's start with this song.
Big Q!
By Sweet Female Attitude. So that is song number one, but this song was also released in the same year. So if you think that All Saints came out after Sweet Female Attitude, you're going to put nah. But if you think Flowers came out first, you're going to put yeah.
Okay.
You get me? And then you're going to put a year if you have a guess at the year if you want for an extra point. Everyone got something? Izzy, you got something? Yeah, I mean, do you remember these songs?
Before
I
just, of course.
Okay, good. Because we do have some people coming here and they haven't really heard about a lot
of
stuff.
I'm just going to start putting titles because I'm confused as fuck. Going to lie to use yeah and there.
Okay.
So I'm just going to put whatever.
All right, so let's move on to number two. Of course,
fucking
with Rhythm
hell.
Is a Dancer.
You're taking me back. Right.
Big song. Big song from that year. But equally, this is a big song. Of course, on a ragged tip. Okay.
Jesus Christ.
Let's move on to number three, okay?
Crystal Waters.
Gypsy Woman, bracket, she's homeless. But did that get released before or after this song?
Come on.
Let's talk about sex, baby. Ooh. Let's talk about you and me. Let's talk about all the good things and the bad things that make me.
Salt and Pepper, of course. Let's talk about sex. You'll definitely remember this one.
Has it come to this? Original pirate material. You're listening to the streets and your aerial.
Streets, of course, as it comes to this. And this song came out before or after it.
I got 21 seconds to flow. I got 21 seconds to go. Because if you let me, know. Let me in the studio. I got 21 seconds before I got to go. Did you see me on the video? Oh, no.
I know exactly what they did.
Yeah. Let's move on to this.
No, that's not me. Act like a waste man, that's not me. Sex any girl, no, that's not me. Lips any girl, no, that's not me. Yeah, I used to wear Gucci, I put it all in the bin, cause that's not me.
Have a think about that with Skepta, that's not me. But did this song come out before or after Skepta?
It's time for the Robbie workout. Robbie workout. Robbie workout. Robbie workout.
Heath or Bizzle, okay? I know you know these ones.
Yeah, we're getting more into my
knows. Yes, he knows this one. Okay, finally, let's go for... of course, Dizzy Rascal was just a rascal, but did this big, big tune come before or after it?
If you don't know that, you're fired.
Blazing Squad with Marcel. Yeah. Marcel's own song, Flip Reverse, there.
Is that you singing?
No, I didn't sing.
But you're on it. You're on it.
I didn't sing at them times.
Yeah.
This is the song that there was a rumour that it was about anal, wasn't it?
It was.
That was the one.
It wasn't necessarily about anal. It was about Boogie Star, didn't it?
Oh, yeah, that was
what's
it. That was
what's
it.
The song
Flip Reverse.
Flip Reverse it. Makes sense now, doesn't it?
Listen, come on, G.
Did you think that Sweet Female Attitude came out before or after All Saints? Which came first, All Saints or Sweet Female Attitude?
I put near. So the second one.
Okay. And what did you put, Michael Payne?
I put All Saints.
So you put All Saints came out first. Yeah. And what did you put, Mars?
And I put near.
So meaning All Saints as well.
Yeah.
Points for all of you there. All right, let's move on to number two. Snap, did Snap or SL2, which one came first?
I put Nair.
You put Nair, you thought On a Ragga Tip, okay.
I put Yeah.
What did you put? You thought it was Snap, what did you think?
Snap came out first.
All right, number three, what did you get, Michael Payne? Who came out first, Crystal Waters or Salt and Pepper?
Talk About Sex came out first.
Came out first, all right. Yizzy, what did you get?
I put Nair.
You thought it was, that's Salt and Pepper too, yeah.
I put Yeah.
Well done, Marcel. Crystal Waters did come out before.
Shit.
Yizzy, number three. Number four, sorry. Was it Streets or Stay Solid Crew for you? Which one came out first?
I put Yeah.
Okay, for the Streets, yeah.
I put Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I put the Streets as well.
Incorrect. It was Nair. It was Stay Solid Crew.
2001.
Oh, fuck. I'm an idiot. Yeah, you're right. You're right. What, because that was kind of the end of.
Streets came out in October, Stay Solid in August.
Yes.
Marcel, Skepta or Lethal Bizzle?
Which? I put Yeah.
You put Yeah for Skepta. Okay, Yizzy?
Yes, that's not me.
Okay. And
yeah, that's not me.
That's points for all of you there. And then finally, Michael Payne, Dizzy or The Squad, The Blazing Squad, what did you get?
There was a clue in what you said earlier.
What?
2000.
I didn't say anything.
And actually, it wasn't a clue because that was only the fucking year. In the video, he's wearing winter clothes.
How did you know this?
Which, because knows, they're on the Thames. And I remember he's wearing the big jacket with all the fucking NBA teams all over it, right? Yeah. Which means the video was probably shot in winter, which means the song was probably recorded in. I'm going to go.
That is some technical.
What did you say?
Trust me.
Dizzy or Blazing Squad? Which one are you saying?
Blazing Squad.
Blazing Squad. All right, okay. What do you say, Yizzy?
I went with Nair.
So you've gone with Blazing Squad too. Yeah. Okay, and Marcel, what do you think your own, when do you know your own thing came out?
You get this wrong. This
I said Yeah.
You said Yeah, so Dizzy Rascal.
Okay. No. Yeah, so Dizzy Rascal came out first?
Came out before
Yeah.
Blazing Squad.
Yeah.
I'm afraid you're incorrect.
That is.
How can I be incorrect?
Because Blazing Squad Flip Reverse came out on the 3rd of November and Just a Rascal came out on the 24th of November. So
Oh my god!
Sorry, Marcel. No,
Harriet Rose on FUBAR Radio.
Ash Nico's here. I've been so excited to have you in the studio.
Thank you so much for having me.
No, I think you're really amazing.
Oh gosh.
I don't want to make it creepy in here, but I'm going to make it creepy. I think you're really great.
Yeah, I think you should make it creepier.
Okay, how can we creep it up?
I don't know.
Well, I'm just going to let you know I'm going to work on that for the next 15 minutes.
All right.
I wanted to kick off this interview by just touching on something that I'm really interested, intrigued, excited by, is how the fuck do you eat carrots with your toes?
Oh, did you see my tweet yesterday?
Oh, I'm a straight stalker, yeah.
Yeah, okay, cool.
Straight up stalker.
I love that. Yeah, you just... I mean, I'm pretty flexible.
Are you?
Wink, wink. I did gymnastics when I was a child.
Oh, did you? Did you? The hobby horse, I've heard, is quite a dangerous...
What the fuck is that?
The thing that you jump over that looks
vault.
Like...
the vault. I guess you guys maybe call it something different here.
Yeah, my girlfriend used to do it, and she told me many horror stories about it.
Oh, yeah, that's a bad one. There, I mean, there are horror stories about all of the things in gymnastics. Mm-hmm. There are many ways to hurt yourself. But I used to do rhythmic gymnastics, which is focuses on flexibility. So I'm pretty flexible. And I, you know, just put those carrots between the big toe and the one after it, the second toe. And you just...
What is that called?
The
other one.
The middle toe, my middle toe.
Yeah.
You can use it to swear if you have...
See, you are flexible. That's crazy.
Yeah, I'm pretty flexible.
How do the carrots taste when they come out your toes?
Better. Better, honestly.
I should try
it. Honestly, better. The more creative ways you eat carrots, the tastier they become. That didn't make sense, but you understand what I mean.
It made total sense to me.
Yeah. The more creative you get. Oh my God, there's a bag of carrots.
Oh my God, we've got carrots.
Okay,
let's see.
Do you want me to take my shoes off?
Yeah, I think you should.
Okay.
Shall I do it as well?
Yeah, you might as well.
That is a fucking big carrot though, babe.
Yeah.
Do you want to try it?
Yeah, I'm
so down. Should I snap it in half?
Oh, gosh. No, wait. Is there a thinner one, maybe?
Oh, look. There's a small one.
Yeah, that one I'll eat. I'll straight up eat with my toes right
now. Oh, my God. Okay. Do you mind that I've touched it?
I honestly touch it more. Let's creep it up.
I've just done something really creepy to camera.
My toenails are so gross.
Don't worry. Shall I take my shoes? Will it make you feel better if I take my shoes off as well?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to take my shoes off as well.
Thank you.
I'm not going to try it. Well, I will try, actually.
My toenails are so gross. I'm actually disgusting.
Mine are gross as well. I've got half nail varnish, green nail varnish on. Okay, let's go. Oh, my God, you're doing it.
Currently, Ash Nico is eating a carrot with her toe. Oh my God, I love you so much. I'm going to just touch the carrot with my toe and then realise I can't do it. I'm disgusting. You're amazing. Oh my God, get that vitamin D, C, A, whatever's in there. You're incredible. Thank you so much for doing that. I didn't even know that was going to do that. I didn't even know that was going to happen then.
This is my problem. I'll do anything.
Well, I know that because you performed Invitation whilst eating many, many Scotch bonnet chilies.
Yeah.
That made me have a bit of a panic attack because I was so worried about you, but you were fine.
I'm just chomping into the mic. I'm sorry. I just Please do.
I'm enjoying it. It's like ASMR, that thing that people do.
Oh my God, I love ASMR.
Do some ASMR with it.
I honestly could get off the ASMR.
Are you serious? It makes me feel really weird.
I just love when people eat really crunchy foods.
Oh, okay. So
and they talk really soft to me.
Okay. I'll just... Shall I do that now? Yeah. Will that make the interview calmer?
Shall we make the entire interview ASMR friendly?
I'm actually super into that noise.
Okay.
Yeah. Is that ASMR as well?
Yeah. Yeah.
Did we just make ASMR?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I have a boner. I don't really.
You'd better do. Otherwise, that's really offensive. Okay. I'm just standing here with one shoe on, holding my sock, and I feel very weird.
Yeah, I have one.
You're so bendy.
Yeah, I'm pretty bendy.
I know you said you feel the power is removed from you sometimes when you've, like, kind of when men... are intimidating or because they're obviously physically bigger sometimes and things like that.
Yeah, I'm just really, really fucking sick and tired of men objectifying me and making me feel like a piece of meat on the street.
The thing is, it happens, really a vibe. And I definitely, for me personally, I definitely ignore it. Yeah. And then I suddenly go like, what? Why am I ignoring the fact that you've just like
Conditioned ourselves to think it's not a big deal. But actually, if you think about it, it's gross. The other day, like, I realized I developed quite early. I was like 12 with big old titties.
And I still haven't developed, so I'm waiting on that one still.
I'll pray for you. No, small titties are great.
Awesome. They're awesome.
All the titties. I love them all.
Big, small, medium,
all
fine.
Of them. I love them all. Anyways. But yeah, I'm 12 years old with tits and old men are like... talking like you don't even realize it, like even like men in my family were like, oh, she's developed, like fuck off, disgusting.
That
creepy
is
uncle. It's just and because we're so young when it starts, we don't even realize it's so disgusting.
And you also kind of have this weird backwards thing when you're younger. I found that I was like, wait, am I not what I'm meant to be if people aren't doing that? Because it's like, well, you're kind of taught that, oh, well, if you're good looking, you're going to get wolf whistled by a builder.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's like, oh, well, wait, well, am I not good looking if they don't? And it's like, that's a horrible even thought to think.
Yeah, exactly. I got in a huge, like, screaming fight with my mom over that exact point. She was like, honestly, I'm flattered. And I'm like, Mom, shut the fuck up, okay? They should not be doing that. They should not. It's like, I don't know. Like, why does everything have to be about my body? Like, I have a brain, you stupid Neanderthals.
I agree.
Anyways.
I don't have a brain, but the body's there and I don't want you to use it at your will. But seriously, I think, like, as an artist, as a rapper, as a singer, you've got a beautiful... How the fuck you sang with a Scotch bonnet in your mouth and were still in tune? I have no idea. But listen, you've got a thing that I don't have.
For a while, I was just stressing myself out, like, oh, I'm getting older. Like, I should be making it by now. Well, everyone else is making it. Like, what am I doing wrong? And I'm just putting loads of pressure on myself. But really and truly, trust the process, baby girl. It'll work out.
And that's where No Brainer comes from, right?
Yeah, you need to give yourself time to grow as an artist and to become the artist that you want to be. Otherwise, if I was putting out music at 18, it would have been shit.
Yes, and that's the key to remember. I think May Muller put up an Instagram the other day. She's another artist. Mm. And she wrote, oh, I'm just constantly looking. Sometimes I just compare myself. And we all do that. Mm. You all compare yourself. And it's so good to have that power of be like, it doesn't matter how old I am or what I'm doing or where I am.
Fuck off. And the systems that tell you that you have to be a certain age to make it as a woman in the music industry can suck my fucking clitoris.
Yes, they can.
But don't really suck my clitoris.
No. Yeah. Not now. Just not ever.
As a metaphor.
Yeah, just metaphorically only, just to be clear on that one. Yeah. I'm just making sure no one gets the wrong idea there. Yeah, because it's a weird, I mean, I guess we as well, you've grown up with like the Britney Spears and the kind of like when it was. And do you know what? If you want to sexualize your own body, you absolutely can. I don't know if you saw recently Piers Morgan, who's a dick. Was saying that Little Mix were awful for wearing revealing clothing, and Ariana Grande was like, I think he just needs someone to sit down and be like, Piers, because sometimes he says stuff castration. And I'm like, you're a normal person, and he says things, I'm like, oh, you're normal, and then he says things like this, and I'm like, it's so strange how a white middle class man can think that he has got the right to say things about
that can speak on issues that absolutely do not affect him at all.
Yeah.
So, oh my God, I hate that man.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah, and he will, because Ariana Grande, who is obviously global megastar, was like, hey, Piers, fuck off, which was amazing.
Yeah.
Which I really kind of vibed with that, and I wanted to get your opinion. I don't know if you saw it, but.
Oh, yeah, I did. Yeah, he can fuck off.
Yes.
And I feel like he's a dying breed.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just a really exciting time for women who are saying, because I've always been told that I'm too loud and I'm too aggressive because my personality is loud, therefore people see it as aggressive. Mm-hmm. And I've always been taught, and I want to make sure that when I have kids or kids around me know that being a girl and being assertive and being having your own opinions doesn't mean you're aggressive.
Exactly. I had a situation the other day. I was in a restaurant and I was ordering takeaway, and the guy, the cashier, sorry. Yeah. I've forgotten English, actually.
Cashier.
Yeah, cashier. He got my order wrong, and I was like, excuse me, this is the wrong order. Can I have the right order? And he was like, whoa, babes, calm down, chill out. You need to calm down. And I was like, I literally just talked to you assertively. I cannot believe you're telling
me
to calm down right now.
How much do you want to hurt people when they say, calm down?
I swear, if... God, no.
Relax is worse, though. Actually, relax. Because I do it to other people if I want to piss them off. I'm like, you need to relax.
Babes, relax.
Relax, babes. I think it's a weird thing that we're taught. It's like you have to kind of be ladylike and you have to be tick these boxes to appeal to men.
No, thank you.
No, thanks.
Like, it's just so much energy. Like, why would you spend that much energy making yourself, like, palatable to someone else? Like, just be, like, just make yourself happy, for fuck's sake.
And I think that's happening now. Girls are taking that vibe and doing that.
Yeah, it's hard enough to love yourself. I don't need to go out of my way to make you love me.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, all the words that are coming out of your mouth, poetic.
Thank you.
The Tuesday Roundup with Doc Brown and Hugh Joseph on FUBAR Radio.
Oh, yes, yes. It is a brand new show. It's Doc Brown and myself and our first guest, the first hit. He's popping out guest Cherry right here, right now. Very, very talented British actor from shows like Uncle, Hunterbury, Cockroaches, The IT Crowd. The list goes on and on and on.
Daniel, didn't you pop up in like a weird period thing? I'm sure I saw a photo of like loads of people looking like Downton Abbey and then just like you in the background.
it was Hunterbury, Julia Davis's Hunterbury, which was
Sky Atlantic. That's what it was. I thought it was Downton for a second.
There's one black guy in Downton, one.
There is,
but that's it.
Yeah,
no more.
I auditioned.
Welcome to the show, Daniel Taylor Lawrence. Welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing? Thank you for having me.
Mm. No worries,
man. Let me be your first guest.
For those that don't know, Dan is one half of a legendary sketch duo called Ginger and Black, which I'd heard of before I'd seen.
Oh, really?
So, you know, I just assumed the name was the surnames of the two people. Do you know what I mean? And when I saw how literal the shit was, I was already laughing. It's brilliant. So Dan's partner is the fantastic
Harry Jackson.
Yeah. Who is very much a redhead. And Dan, for those who can't tell by the voice, which is a debate we've had before on the show, is very much a black.
We did a radio show once. We had to do a radio record, and we wrote a song, and I mentioned the fact that I was I made a black joke, and they had to call in the lawyers to see if I was allowed to do it, because they questioned whether I was black or not.
Is your other half allowed to do ginger jokes?
I don't know, actually. I would have thought so.
You think so, wouldn't you?
I don't think you guys ever played on it as much as maybe people expected you to, which I think was a good thing.
Yeah, personally. Yeah, I think so. I think there was there was jokes to be had where we didn't constantly have to mention the fact that I was black, she was white, she was a woman, I was a bloke, she was redhead, all of that stuff. So we just kind of, weirdly enough, those jokes never really came to us. I mean, we got a couple because it'd be weird to not mention it at all. But
of course.
Yeah, we didn't really play on it too much, which is nice. Yeah, yeah, it's slightly different.
Don't you find it so strange when you first make that transition from live comedy into like televised comedy, and you do your thing, you know, you say your line and you know it's a funny line and you give it your own unique twist and it makes the whole crew laugh and you're like, oh yeah, cool, I know what I'm doing. But then you have to do it like 20 times and no one's laughing and you're such a comedian still that you think, oh my god, maybe this isn't funny.
So you start changing it up,
you start second guessing yourself. That's what we got to like get out of our systems in order to be good actors.
It's hard, but like you say, it's hard, like, because you do, because you are used to being on stage and getting a response straight away and doing it once and that's it. I mean, you might have a callback and that's the only time you'd probably repeat a gag, but to do it again and again,
it's just
again.
Not natural. It's not in our like makeup. It's just it seems so strange to do it.
So it throws you, but I'm slowly learning. I think the worst times is when you do a scene and it's funny, but because it's only like a couple of lines in the scene, so you've done all this setup and so within the context it's funny, but just filming that moment is not necessarily funny. So sometimes it can be quite damaging because you're like, why is no one laughing? And it's just because no one's seen the rest of the script yet.
I've had much more like laughter around the room on like a hardcore like gritty drama than on comedy. And I think that's maybe because of the tension of the scenes, you know. It's kind of natural. It's something naturally funny
are you a moment spoiler? Are you just one of those people?
No, I'm not too bad. I'll tell you who the worst is Patterson Joseph. He's the absolute worst. You ever used to watch Peep Show?
Yes, the black
guy who's like the manager.
Yeah.
That dude. You know, I worked with him on Law and Order for about, I don't know, like 14 episodes or something. And that guy, he'd be doing like, because he was the boss of the police station, you know, he'd be like handing me my ass, you know, like for some shit. And you know, we'd do the shot on him, and then they reverse it to me, and I'd be going, oh boss, you know, blah blah blah, and he'd just be doing these stupid faces the whole time. You know, oh Jesus. That guy's pro. Known as like a proper pro. Oh no, I want to air him out on air. So how are you with the catering? Do you eat everything on set, or are you like one of those actors like, oh no, I just have a salad?
Oh no, I like to eat everything, but I think because catering on film sets is amazing. Like,
oh, it's a different planet.
Yeah, it's so good. And so if I ever do something and it's not good, I get really upset. I'm like, this is part of the job. And like, I'm not just doing it to act because I enjoy it. Yeah. I'm doing it for the food as well.
Where's my croquettes? What? I don't want that tuna sandwich. Where's my croquettes?
So I get upset about stuff like that. So, but yeah.
Good sir, we do have one more question for you. We've had a listener, Pen in Hove. She has she's emailed in HD at Fubar Radio saying, hey Daniel, I've got two quick questions for you. Who would you like to work with, and would you like to work with Doc?
Yeah, I'd love to work with Doc. Weirdly enough, like whenever I do comedy, like I recently worked with Javon Prince, and he's brilliant. And we were just saying, like, black actors never get to work together.
No, because you can only have one at a time.
Yeah, and it's so odd. And like when we were both acting opposite each other, like he was a head teacher and I was like a producer. Like neither of us, you know, sold guns or were drug dealers.
We're randomly gay.
Yeah.
Here's a story for you, Hugh. Right, I remember I bumped into Daniel, and the day before we were at the same party. The day before, I'll be quick.
Yeah,
I got a script through, and the character for me said, "Enter young, attractive, gay black man. Think Daniel Taylor." So he's used as a reference.
I still would have preferred if you answered that question with, actually, no, I fucking hate to work with you. All right, so that time of the...
Calculations are correct. When this baby hits 88 miles per hour, you're going to see some serious shit.
We're going to call this one Rap About Anything.
Doc Brown!
This is Doc Brown.
I can speak about anything. What did I tell you? You can give me anything.
Make some noise, yo.
What did I tell you?
Yes, it is a brand new show, but we are keeping some of the gold. Oh, do you know what? Pleasure, mate.
Really
nice.
Do you
know what? I like you, and it's my pleasure, and now you owe me. All right. So here we go. What have you picked, Doc?
Well, I had a lot of good suggestions, but this week I've gone with Simon in Hackney, who emailed the studio about meat, but also said, hey, maybe rap about trick or treat.
You're going to do both?
So I thought, yeah, let's see if we can work that in.
All right, let's jump
straight
into
Simon.
Here we go. We're using Drake energy. Instrumental. When you're ready, Simon.
Yeah, all right, drop it. Let's go. Bang, bang, bang. That's quite suitable, actually, the little gunshots and that. This one's quite aggy, you know what I'm saying? It's Doc Breeze, the Tuesday roundup. Check it. It's Doc B, I'm back, I know you're sick of me. It's nearly Halloween, so I'm discussing trick or treat. I got some strong opinions, you might not back me. I'm doing this for Simon listening in Hackney. If you're in a hood district, watch for kids trying to get paid instead of sweets, proper shits. Adidas hoodie, green, grey shorts. Whole outfit by JD Sports. They ain't even got a fucking mask or a costume, but they got a little bag and they want you to give them cash, fuck cash. Candy and pumpkins, that ain't trick or treat, bruv, that's a mugging. This year I'll lock my doors and go out myself, buy a little plastic bucket from the shop shelf, and I'll go trick or treat, but not for quids, just for bacon, burgers and sausages. Proper shit.
Yes.
It's Doc, your bitch.
Yeah. Jeez.
Fucked
that's
up the
it.
JD Sports line, man.
That's
it's hard
it.
To say grey green.
Well, Daniel Taylor, thank you, sir.
Peace.
You. Stay home and chill, keeping you company during the coronavirus.